Good evening and Happy New Year. I'd like to call the January 3rd, 2019 organizational meeting to order. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
Pledge of
Okay, I'll take roll call. Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
I am present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Ms. Champion?
Here.
Ms. Dawson?
Here.
Mr. Granison has asked to be excused. Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Ms. Corman?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present. The first order of business this evening is the election of a temporary chair, and I will open the floor for nominations. Ms. Robertson?
I'd like to nominate Mike Sigler to be temporary chair.
Is there a second? Ms. Kellis? Are there any other nominations? May I have a motion to close nominations, please? Ms. Dawson, seconded by Mr. Morey. All those in favor of closing nominations, signify with aye. Raise your hands. Any opposed? Motion carried. All those in favor of nominating Mr. Sigler as temporary chair, signify with aye. Raise your hands. Any opposed?
Oh, yeah, please. Let's do that.
Mr. Sigler, would you like to come up?
Getting it back. That's the funny part. So, thank you for this great honor. No, I really do appreciate this. This is nice of you all to do this. I do know that, again, Martha, when she served as chair this last year, she got paid time and a half. So I figure I'm getting time and a half right now. I am going to stretch this speech out a little bit longer. I talked to Frank Proto about that, and he's like, that's what he used to do. So he did. He sent me a speech tonight. I'm not going to go there because it was long. And I'm going to use Martha's speech. I pulled it off her computer. So that way she won't have anything to say when she gets up here. That's my goals. With that said, I want to open the floor up for nominations for the chair. Do I have any nominations from the floor? Yes, Deborah Dawson.
Mr. Chair Pro Tem, I would like to nominate Martha Robertson. In 2018, I served on committees with Martha, attended events and meetings with her in Ithaca, Elmira, Albany, and at the White House. I even drove to D.C. and back with her. In my experience, no one on this legislature is more dedicated, better informed, or harder working than Martha is. No one devotes more effort to our relationships with representatives from the city, other municipalities in the county, Cornell, and IC. No one is more respectful of our county staff, and no one has been more promptly and thoughtfully responsive to my questions about legislative issues and procedures. When Tompkins County needs something, Martha looks for ways to make it happen. Her leadership on funding our airport expansion is an excellent example. She pushed Albany for a grant. She even buttonholed Governor Cuomo at an ISAC conference. I watched her lobby the White House Director of Government Relations for a federal grant, and I even have a picture of her actually cornering the man against a wall if you want to see it. She has proved herself to be tireless, relentless, and indomitable when she's working for Tompkins County. I acknowledge that, like me, Martha's fortunate because she has the time to devote all her efforts to county business. That said, all of us are fortunate that she consistently chooses to devote tens of hours of her time every week to making Tompkins County a better place to live. Because we all benefit from her leadership and hard work, I'm pleased and honored to nominate Martha Robertson as legislative chair for 2019.
Thank you, Deborah. And looking out, do I have a second? Leslie McBean Claiborne, I see a second. So, moving on, do we have any other nominations?
So, I had a big
to talk.
I'm not going to talk much. I had a big long roast of Martha prepared, because I know Deborah would say very good things, and then I have to say the things that are not so good. But I don't feel well, so she dodges the bullet tonight. So I'm just going to second the nomination.
And there we have our second. We expect that speech in written form later on. So we have one nomination on the floor. Do we have any other nominations from the floor? Seeing none, I will close the nominations, and we will now go to a vote. All those in favor of Martha Robertson for chairman of the Tompkins County Legislature for 2019, please raise your hands. All those opposed? All those in the room, it is unanimous. I believe that would be 13 people.
12.
Who else are we missing?
Henry's not here.
Ask for a roll call, please.
Okay, roll call vote. Thank you.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Black?
Yes.
Ms. Champion?
Yes.
Ms. Dawson?
Yes.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Mr. Klein? Ms. Corman?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
12 ayes, 0 noes.
With that, congratulations, Martha, on your next term.
Thank you all so very much. I deeply appreciate the honor. Deborah, your kind words are greatly appreciated. Leslie, I can't wait to hear what you got to say.
It would have been good, I'm telling you.
All right, well, we'll catch up with that. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. And I deeply appreciate your support and look forward to working up to those very kind words and looking forward to a great year together. So I'd like to open the nominations for vice chair. Are there any nominations from the floor? Deborah.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Tonight, it's my privilege to nominate my colleague and friend, Shauna Black, to be vice chair of our legislature in 2019. Shauna is blessed with abundant intelligence and good humor, excellent people skills, and a huge heart. These very obvious qualities tend to eclipse the fact that she's acquired an impressive managerial and administrative skill set in her pre-legislative career. Shauna has also had extensive hands-on experience in the not-for-profit service sector in Tompkins County, as a result of which she is intimately familiar with the needs of our underserved populations. We've all watched Shauna apply her compassion and skills to the leadership of the Health and Human Services Committee over the past year. She's the only freshman legislator to have chaired a committee in 2018, and she's done an excellent job. She's earned the opportunity to expand her leadership role to the full legislature and to learn from that experience. And I believe we will all benefit from giving her that opportunity. I hope you'll join me in voting for Shauna for vice chair.
Are there any second? Is there a second to the nomination? Amanda.
I second the nomination of Shauna Black for vice chair. I have found her to be constantly thoughtful and respectful and dedicated to her work. What I see in Shauna is that she's not here for her ego. She's really, truly here to help people and to make our community the best it can be. So I wholeheartedly support her as vice chair.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Can I get a motion to close the nominations? Moved by Amanda, seconded by Deborah. All in favor of closing nominations, please raise your hands. Any opposed? All right, nominations are closed. Can I get a vote? Should we do a roll call vote for vice chair for Shauna Black?
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Morey?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Ms. Black?
Yes.
Ms. Champion?
Yes.
Ms. Dawson?
Yes, indeed.
Mr. John?
Yes.
Ms. Kellis?
Yes.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Corman?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Shauna Black, congratulations on being the 2019 Vice Chair of the Legislature.
Thank you.
I look forward to working with you and getting us off to a great start this year. I guess the first order of business is to say that Sean and I will be getting together to try to meet with each of you to discuss your interest in committees, in the committee structure. I will send around a list of the 2018 structure that shows especially the responsibilities of each committee so you can sort of refresh your understanding of what each committee was to do. And part of the discussion is not just kind of what do I want to be on, but also, you know, should we restructure these in any way? Do we need this committee or that committee? Should we change responsibilities? So if you'll be thinking about that, and then we'll set those meetings up as soon as we can. So, Mike.
Do we get to hear from Shauna?
Absolutely.
Sure. I'd like to thank Deborah and Amanda for nominating me this evening. I'd also like to thank Martha and Anna Kellis for the leadership over the past year. I'm happy to share this historical day with Sharice Davids of Kansas and Deb Holland of New Mexico, who are the first Native American women elected. Rashida Laib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota are the first Muslim women elected to Congress. There are a record number of women who are being sworn in today for the first time. It's my distinct pleasure to work with this legislature and my 13 hardworking and committed colleagues. Thank you for trusting me as your vice chair, and I look forward to a very vibrant and healthy 2019. Thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Terrific. All right. That's a great way to begin the year. I really appreciate those words and reminder of what happened in Washington, D.C. today. I watched a little bit on television, and it was pretty impressive. All right. I would like to just go to public privilege of the floor. Do we have any blue forms? I don't see it. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak to us and then fill out a blue form? All right. I don't see any municipal officials. Is anybody hiding there? All right. We're going to roll right through this tonight. Legislators, privilege of the floor. Anybody like to address the body? Dan Klein.
Thank you. I wanted to take 2 minutes to mention again an issue that I'm very interested in that's going to be coming before the legislature very soon, and that is about the county-owned forest land in Newfield and Caroline. The county owns approximately 550 acres of forested land, and plans have been drawn up to log that land by the end of March. Last month, the county planning committee voted to move that plan forward. They will be voting again January 24th and then scheduled to come to the full legislature on February 5th to be logged the following month. I wanted to let everyone know and let the listening public know that I've set up a website, TompkinsOldGrowth.org. And on this website, you can find a lot of information about the site itself, maps, a link to the logging plan. You can find a lot of the arguments that are being made about why these trees should be cut down and why I don't think that should be done. because what I think should be done instead is that we should let these forests mature into old-growth forests. So, again, the website is TompkinsOldGrowth.org, and you can check that out and find out a lot more information, or if anybody wants to email me directly, Dan Klein, easy enough to find on the county website. Thank you.
Annie, and then Leslin.
Thank you, Martha, and congratulations to Martha and Shauna with your election and your new position, and Martha being reelected. And I want to say a couple of things. First off, just completing my first year as a legislator, I wanted to thank the fellow legislators and this county staff for helping with this transition and helping teach me on the go. I really appreciate that. And I've learned that we have a lot of great folks on the legislature and especially the county staff. So I'm really proud to be working with the staff and to help support them in any way I can. And I wanted to mention one of the things that I'd like to work on this year, and that's supporting labor more. I've been meeting with a couple of different unions over the past year and a half, and so please be on the lookout. I've talked to a couple of fellow legislators about that, and for instance, when we work on housing issues, we're struggling with trying to figure out how to make housing more affordable. One of the biggest ways we can make housing more affordable is to help people get good jobs. So that's one of the things that I'll be working on, and if anybody wants to talk to me about that or help me in that endeavor, please let me know. So thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Leslin McBean-Claiborne.
Thank you, Martha. I'm going to duck out early, and so I'm going to ask your indulgence just to give my WDIC report. But I also want to remind my colleagues here that this is the month that we celebrate, honor, and remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we have one of the biggest community events that happens at BGM School is GX annual Martin Luther King Jr. Community Breakfast, Saturday the 19th, 9 to 11:30 a.m. Our guest speaker this year is the Honorable Mayor Savante Myrick. And so we encourage you to please join us. You can come and help volunteer to cook or serve or clean or to just be there and join in fellowship with others as we talk about movements for positive change in our community and in our country. So please, Saturday the 19th, 9 a.m. community breakfast. It's held at the BGM Community School Gym. And that Monday, it's the MLK Day On as opposed to Day Off event. Again, a series of workshops and a day of deep thinking and connecting around what we all can do together collectively to affect change. Same place, BGM. This time it's a luncheon, and that begins at 11. And then, you know, it has a number of workshops during that day. A bunch of community agencies work in collaboration, have been doing this for years, to put on that event. So, again, you're welcome to volunteer some time or just come and participate in the activities. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Leslin. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. Is there anybody else like to address the group? Mike Lane.
For the past year, we've had one of our members serving as vice chair of this legislature. Anna Kellis is the past vice chair, and I want to thank her for her service to our legislature. Talk about a person who works tirelessly. I don't think there's any one of us can hold a candle to the amount of time that Anna spends on it. Anna, you did fine for us, and thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Ditto. You're here.
Thank you very much, Mike. I agree with that. Absolutely. Anyone else? All right, then I think we can blame Henry for how long our meetings usually go. So he's not here tonight. So briefly on my report, Leslie and I would love to be at the BJM breakfast on the 19th, but I'm going to be in Seneca Falls for the Women's March there. And I know some people, I think Anna's going to be in New York for the Women's March, and some people are going to Washington. But I'll be there that Monday. And again, on the, I think it's the 16th, Southside Community Center has also a luncheon honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I'll be there on the 16th. But the BJM breakfast is an awesome event, so everybody should go. I just want to mention, I've told you before that the end of next week, I'll be in Washington, D.C., representing NYSAC at a conference of the National Committee on Science and the Environment. And the topic is a panel on how the academic community can work with local, state, and federal governments, about government officials, about, you know, improving policy and how science should be informing policy and policymakers. And just sort of brainstorming with myself and Anna and Katie Borghella, came up with a very healthy list of examples of how we work with our both academic institutions here and also with TC3. So I wanted to just let you know that I'll be doing that next week. And then the Friday, that's Thursday, and Friday I'm staying so that I can have meetings in federal offices. I already have appointments in Senator Schumer's office, Senator Gillibrand's office, a tentative in Congressman Brindisi's office, and also with Diane Miller, the Cornell public affairs person in Washington. And Congressman Reed's office is working on trying to get an appointment with the DOT, but that's one of the agencies that's shut down right now. So, we'll see what happens there. Yes, what?
Is that the federal airport grant agency?
Yeah. Yeah, so the sense is that those decisions will be delayed at least a little bit. That's one of the agencies that is shut. I have a list of them, and I can't remember. I know that was on there. Congressional offices and staffs are being paid, and they're functioning. The White House staff is being paid, and they're functioning. But I guess they're essential. So you can decide how you feel about that. Anyway, I also want to mention the end of the month is NYSAC, and at this moment we have Katrina has told me that Shauna, Deborah, Anna, Annie, and Rich are all going for all are part of the conference. And Jason will be there together with Nimer the following couple of days. So we're going to try to set up some meetings with some of the governor's staff, but also we may really look to meet with some Senate staff too, since we have new leadership there. So we'll be working on that. So if there are no other questions, that's my report. When I get to sending you that message about setting up a time to come in and meet with Shauna and me, let's try to get those in gear so that we can get started with the new committees. Thank you all very much. And again, thank you so much for your support. And Kathy reminds me, I have a chair's appointment at Workforce Development Board, Kira Francis. I will make that appointment. County Administrator Jason Molina.
Thank you. Just a few things to report. I'll piggyback on NYSAC conference. I'll be attending along with the legislators and followed by a NYMER. I'm on the Board of Governors for NYMER, so that's Thursday and Friday. Also, we'll try to meet with Cornell's Public Affairs Office, Charlie
Krasanski
as well, if we have an opportunity to meet with him. Also, I polled the staff about a week or so ago if the federal shutdown was going to impact any of the departments immediately. There doesn't seem to be any immediate impact. Depending on how long it may carry on, that may challenge. It may pose some challenges with reimbursements, but until I hear otherwise, I don't think it's going to have any significant impact on us. If it does, I'll advise the legislature. Other than that, as we go into the new year, Lisa and Amy and I will be meeting, I think, tomorrow for a few hours to begin to develop a little bit of a work plan out of our office. And I'm working with all the department heads on work plans that they foresee in their departments for the course of the year. Our intention there is that either probably in February or March we'll come to the program committees and share those work plans so there can be a consensus and understanding of what work we have ahead of us and work with the chairs and those committees on that. Outside of that, I don't have anything new to report.
Okay. Any questions for Jason? Thank you very much. Jonathan Wood, County Attorney.
Sure. I just wanted to give a brief update of the DOT move to the county airport property. Number one thing I have to say is, like, the DOT people are from the state, the people we work from in the federal government are in the FAA, and fortunately they are working. That has not delayed us. Apparently these folks are paid out of a separate budget. So there are a couple events that are of note. On Monday the 14th, the DOT will be making a presentation to the Lansing Town Board going over the site plan. They don't really need approval from the town board because the state approves it, but they will be sharing information. Tuesday evening, the 15th, the DOT will be here to do a presentation and to show the site plan to this legislature. And then the next day in Lansing, there'll be a public hearing on it. There'll be an open house from 4 to 6. The public hearing will be 4:30 to 5:30 at the Lansing Town Hall. So it'll be a good opportunity to see that it's pretty far along and what the site plan is and the process that will go on from now on. And that's my report.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any questions? Great. Rick Snyder, Finance Director.
I have a few things to share tonight. On page 4 is the November sales tax report. And you can see by looking at that, by looking at 11 months out of 12 now in, we can see just for the month of November, the sales tax distributions were up 9.52% compared to last year. Moving over to the right-hand columns, you can see at the end of November, year-to-date tax distributions for the county totaled $33,571,009 compared to $31,335,077 in 2017. This represents an increase of $2,235,932 year over year, or an increase of 7.14%. So another good year for us with December yet to come. Any questions on this?
You have any forecasts for 2019?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, let me, right, Jason? No.
Okay.
Tell you next November.
We'll tell you November. I do have two short items.
Just a second. Annie had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks for your report, Rick. I was wondering the percent difference to the municipalities. It's 13.89%. Is it usually such difference, or is it?
It varies quite a bit. The collections go up and down, not consistently between the municipalities or the city or the county. You can have, just like this report shows, the city at a very low, not very low, but at a smaller increase as compared to, say, the county, compared to municipalities. They fluctuate a lot. It's how the state collects and reports it more than anything.
Having to do with where the purchases were?
No, these categories pretty accurately show how the purchases were collected, but there's a lot of timing differences, and until you get the quarterly report, the end of each quarter, is when the state squares up with everybody. Okay. You'll have a lot of credits, and people who have either overpaid in one period and they get credits, or that they have a lot of underpayments in one period. So when the state gets money from this store right here, it may not be in the classified in the right period or in the right month. It might be for 2 or 3 months ago. So the timing of these things is always shook up quite a bit because of the way the sales taxpayers pay and how the credits go out.
Thank you. So kind of like stocks, you don't watch every single month for indication, but overall getting a sense for how they're doing for the year is probably a better look.
That's why we have the year-to-date column, because it kind of smooths the last 8 or 10 or 11 months.
Thank you.
The only other thing I had to report tonight was something that just came my way yesterday from my purchasing staff. And as you know, with the help of the GO committee, a year and a half or so ago, we went through the purchasing card routine where we did RFPs and we started to use a purchasing card. We don't call it a purchasing card in the county. We call it just a business card or a credit card. But we got our first rebate check yesterday. And I wanted to just share with you the numbers, how we did. Now, we've only implemented the plan effectively 8 months out of the past year. So it hasn't even been in operation for a full year. But during those 8 months, we hit a volume of $2.6 million being run through the new Chase JP Morgan purchasing card. What does that equate in terms of rebate? Well, that moves us up into, because it's a fluctuating threshold based on volume of purchases, you get a higher interest rebate based on how much. We were in the over $2 million range, so we got a 1.25% rebate payable to us, and that amounted to $29,400.
Wow.
So that's found money that came in due to just effectively figuring out another new way to do purchases. And we're not doing just small ticket item purchases, but we're running some large ticket purchase items for that too. Now, they come with a smaller rebate at 0.50%, but it's working out very good. Our estimate for next year is that we believe that the volume will approximately double next year.
And we're not paying any extra fees in any way because of that. So that literally is new money.
It's just by switching cards from what we did before to another bank that offered a better plan. So I congratulate the GL committee for helping us work through all those RFPs and going through that whole process. There is sometimes light at the end of the tunnel when we go through some of these very long RFPs and some of these long processes. And my last report or my last item was that I wanted to commend and publicly say to some of my finance staff that they very much committed themselves over the last week while the rest of us are away on holiday. I know I worked on December 24th all day and on the 31st, but I had a number of employees, including my two division heads, Melanie Merriman and Donna Shaw, that were in here over the weekend to start working on year-end close. They worked New Year's Day. I had two payroll staff because of the way the timing of the payroll was, that yesterday was when we had to have payroll ready to go. They were in here over the weekends. They were here New Year's Eve almost to midnight. They were here New Year's Day. So I very much appreciate the hard work and the dedication of the folks in the finance staff, that when sometimes the rest of us have holidays or days off, they come in regardless to make it happen for everybody that works for Tompkins County. And I very much appreciate what they did, especially over this past week, in those regards, for you, for both year-end and for the payroll process.
Thank you very much. Rick, please share with them our gratitude as well. And that's really, really important, and it's good to know. And thank you for mentioning their names in particular. And I know it can be hard, especially year-end is kind of everything has to happen and it has to be done right. So we really appreciate that. I know Jason said to me earlier last year that, you know, he was looking forward to this year as a mayor, as a city manager. He had to do that year-end duty and didn't have to do it in the same way this year. So
I asked him to come and help. And he said he would.
I'll get you next year.
Next year. Okay. Any questions for Rick? All right. Thank you so much, Rick. Really appreciate that report. Again, thank you. Thank your staff for us very much. are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Dan.
I would like to add Resolution J, Resolution accepting and approving the recommendation of the Governance Council of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture to extend an offer of a license to the Ithaca Festival.
Okay, do we have that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the red folder.
Oh, I see it. Okay. All right. Is there a second for that? Second by Amanda. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? All right. That is added to the agenda. We'll take that under GO as well. Okay. All right. I have the consent agenda, and I will read things off. If you have something to pull, just shout out. So start with the appointment of Kathy Servas to the Youth Services Board from the town of Dryden. Resolution A, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax and solid waste fee refunds under $500, ID 8159. Resolution B, urging New York State Legislature to increase recycling and reduce municipal waste management costs by expanding the New York State Returnable Container Act. Ann?
Yeah. I'd like that one to be pulled just so we can have more discussion about it.
Okay. And Resolution C, authorization to execute a contract for purchase and implementation of a Wayscale software system for the Department of Recycling and Materials Management, ID 8306. Resolution D, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax refunds and credits of $2,500 and under, ID 8225. Resolution E, acceptance of snowmobile trail grant for the 2018-2019 season, ID 8282. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Deborah, seconded by Annie. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. So we'll start with Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Mike Lane, Chair.
We haven't met since our last legislature meeting. We will meet on the 8th at 4 o'clock. Not a big agenda, but we want to tidy up the direct report things that all of us were supposed to work on over the holidays, and not many of us worked much on those, but we will.
So you need the typewritten notes, is that you?
Yeah, we're all, you handed out your right. Your notes, and we were assigned to type those up. Not all of us have done that.
Okay. And the meeting is when again?
The 8th of January at 4 o'clock p.m. here. I'm sorry, at the old jail.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Mike? Dan?
I actually did do my homework assignment. What are we supposed to do with them? Are we emailing them to you, or are we?
I think they should go to everybody.
The legislators?
No. The committee.
Budget committee.
Budget committee people, yeah.
Thank you.
Deborah?
I'm curious, Mike, are we going to use the comments and the feedback that we got on those surveys to create work plans or performance measures for the direct reports?
Goals, yes. That's some of the things we're talking about, yes. Some of them will come out of the surveys, and some of them may come up more updated documents.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. WDSE, Leslyn already gave her report. For the Housing Committee, I'll just very quick, and then let's go to GO so that. Wait a minute. We should do the.
F&I.
I'm sorry, so all the solid waste folks, people can go. All right. Just very quickly on housing, we had to change our meeting because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So next Housing Committee meeting is Friday, January 25th, 9:30 in this room. And so instead of that Monday, we have not met since the last legislature meeting, so there's no report. So just Friday, January 25th, I'm sorry. All right, let's go to F&I. Dave McKenna, Chair.
Okay. We met on the 18th of December, and we had a report from Lisa Holmes on the old jail project and Tioga Street project. Also a report from Aurel on TC3, the building permit issue at TC3, and sounds like that got resolved. I guess that covers most of what we did other than the resolution. Which one got pulled? Was it E305?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, packet page 6. Excuse me, Jason, did you want to say something?
After the resolution, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. Resolution urging New York State Legislature to increase recycling and reduce municipal waste management costs by expanding New York State Returnable Container Act, ID 8305, and I'll move that.
Seconded by Glenn. So, Anna, you want to start off questions? Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if Barbara Ekstrom could give us a little overview of this because some folks had questions about it.
Here I am. Happy New Year. I'm going to give you the big picture first very quickly as to why I'm even doing this. The situation that is prompting this is two things. One, the market, our ability to market glass and not pay a lot of money doesn't exist at this time where we are located. That's been happening for the last few years. We signed a contract 8 years ago that's up for renewal in 2 years. Not renewal, excuse me. We're going to go through an RFP process that's going to take about a year and a half. That contract included the beneficiation of glass. Let me tell you what that means. That means producing other glass bottles from glass with equipment. It was a contract between, at the time, Reed Community and Casella and us. That business went bankrupt, okay? Similar to others that weren't prepared to deal with the kinds of issues involved. Not to get into any details, but after that, we marketed for a while, but we started to pay money, and then it became impossible. Let me tell you why. It became impossible because we had transferred from a dual stream system where containers were in one container and fiber, the paper, was in another. What happened, and this is why I delayed for years going to single stream until we had no option to process our materials. The material all became blended together. The glass broke, fiber and the plastic were mixed together, and it created a situation that, glass manufacturers didn't want. If they could get the clean glass from the take backs, the 5-cent deposit containers. So for the last few years, so here's what's good. Jonathan is good. He wound up helping me to negotiate. Oh, don't look at me. He wound up helping me negotiate a contract where we were paying $3 a ton for this glass beneficiation process, okay? But regardless of whether it was successful, that is what we've continued to pay. Everyone else in this area, in most of upstate Western New York, is paying about $60 a ton for their glass to be used as a beneficial use or an alternative landfill cover, okay? That, to me, is not recycling, okay? It's not officially being thrown away because it is being used as part of a cover material to cover the garbage. But I'm looking ahead. I will definitely plan to remain here before I retire when our new contract has to be negotiated and approved. What my main concern is what we could be in for if glass in the form that it's in is not accepted as in a marketing situation, which is very, very likely. Nothing's going to change. And if we're stocked with a cost of $60 a ton for this to be used as what we call a BUD, a beneficial use determination by the state. What does that mean? It means that we roughly have 3,000 tons of glass a year coming from our facility, you know, that's not bottle bill already like the beer bottles. That means about, if I take out all of the, if I look at the, like the amount that we could lose, if we include all of that, that's about $150,000 to $180,000. Knowing full well that we've had the worst year on record with the losses in recycling revenue, I feel like that it's imperative for me to look at every possible option for us to market to the highest use, which in my opinion is beneficiation, or at least, you know, if we could, but that isn't on the short-term horizon. And quite frankly, I'm trying to think ahead. So my main impetus, well, there's two. One impetus is to move this approach forward with the bottle bill, because this material is being recycled. And it has, right now it doesn't have a value. It's actually break even, and there's a transportation cost. But if we're not mindful of what we're doing, we're going to fall prey to whatever the hauler wants to charge. I mean, the hauler, the landfill operator, in terms of using this as a landfill cover, and to the state to continue to let us do this. I had the opportunity to participate in a glass stakeholders meeting in Rochester where the state, the DOT, and there were some elected officials, and there's going to be another one in Albany, came, and we talked. This is the major problem apart from fiber prices in China, so it's not like we have zero problems here. But looking ahead, there could very well be money that comes from the bottle bill because the state receives a certain amount of money that's used for environmental fund projects. In looking at the research and implementation of glass beneficiation, and the other term to become familiar with is aggregate, turning the glass into uses for either pipe bedding, drainage, agricultural applications. So not to bore you with all the details, but I see the handwriting on the wall. I want to look at all the options. And I'm still interested in exactly what I was interested in when we selected this company to beneficiate glass and turn bottles back into bottles. To me, that's a form of reuse. It's the highest value. The other thing, I'm on the New York State Product Stewardship Council. What does all that mean? It means that in Canada, for example, producers are taking a responsibility and manufacturers in paying for the cost of recycling and making sure this material has viable markets. In this country, there is some progress being made on certain materials like paint, pharmaceuticals, et cetera. But if we do this and we continue to be part of a bottle bill expansion for wine and liquor bottles, it means that those materials will be recycled. Manufacturers will also be part of this entire picture. And at the end of the day, more material will be recycled.
Okay, so this is urging the state to expand the Returnable Container Act. So first off, do you know if there's a bill in either house that's pending?
There is not a bill that's pending. There wasn't a bill in 1983, and there wasn't a bill in 2016 when these things took place. There are people that we, as part of the Product Stewardship Council, and also the U.S. Product Stewardship Council, are talking with. We believe with this particular political situation in Albany that it's more than likely that we can stimulate that and work behind the scenes. There's some of us that work behind the scenes, bigger municipalities that can, you know, that we're going to lobby and do more with.
Okay. Annie, you started this off. Did you have any specific questions to follow?
One that I'm thinking of right now, which has to do more with, if we pass this as a resolution, wondering if you would like something added to it, or whereas, as which relevant people you would like this sent to, for instance.
Yeah, I saw that this afternoon, and I actually shared that information with other people that are doing more of the political work, and I'll probably know sometime tomorrow who we might want to also add. And I don't know, have they formed, are the committees, do the committees, the environmental committees form at some point in January at the state level?
Yeah, I see. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially in the Senate, they'll be different.
I know. So I don't know who those are, but I will definitely take that question seriously, and I'll get back to Kathy Covert with that response.
Okay, so we don't have to add that as a whereas.
Well,
just do it later, right? Just send
we
it
could
on.
Still add a resolve that says, you know, send it to Governor Cuomo and to NYSAC and to our delegation and say Carl Hastie and Andrew Stewart Cousins.
I mean, I'll be sending it to the New York State Association of Recyclers and New York State Association of Solid Waste Managers, but those aren't people we would normally put on you know, in here.
All right, I'd entertain an amendment to include a resolved on that to that effect, but. Oh, well, okay. Once you make it, go ahead and make the amendment. I can't from here.
Okay, I make that amendment.
All right, to include a resolve that this shall be sent to Governor Andrew Cuomo, Senate Leader Andrew Stewart Cousins, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, our three senators, Assemblywoman Barbara Lifton, and NYSAC, right?
Good.
Okay, seconded by Glenn. All right.
NYSAC is good. They put out a paper in 2016. It's a summary document, and they did an incredibly good job about it.
Okay, so in 2016?
That was their, that was their paper that I have.
Okay, and you had other questions or comments?
Do you want
comments?
To ask if that was a friendly?
All right, is that a friendly? Okay, great. All right, that's taken care of. Thank you, Annie. Anna?
So just in summary, from what I understand of this, the 5-cent fee is one of the greatest incentives to reduce the number of bottles in the recycle stream, the single stream that we currently have, because there'll be incentive to keep it out. They'll be returned whole instead of broken, which means that the ability to beneficiate them will be greater. There is some market for it, even if it isn't local. The manufacturers or the producers are the ones who will be charged for that 5-cent fee. So all in all, it's a system that is a sort of win-win for us, because then our recycle stream will have a greater value because it won't have broken glass in it. Is that in summary?
That's a piece of it. The gist of this is what happens with the glass is that not only is it whole, that's semi-important, but what's mostly important is that they sort by color and by type, and the material is already in a processing form. There is no pre-processing that would have to be done that would cost money. So in our case, let's just say, I mean, Pace Recycling in New Jersey, it would probably be cost prohibitive anyway to go there. But if, you know, if there are markets that are being developed, we're losers. I mean, we're giving them trash compared with the quality that they're getting from the bottle bill material.
Well, two quick questions. One is, if this did pass, if something did pass through the state, does it mean that these bottles can't be thrown into recycling?
That's the case now. The material that's bottle bill already, it can go in recycling. The figure that I was able to research today was that it's approximately almost 80% that goes through bottle bill of what's existing. And 10% is not accounted for, and the other 20% goes in the recycling bin.
I'm just saying that if it does pass, is it the case that it would no longer be able to go?
I can't answer that question. What I can answer is what's happening now with the current bottle bill material.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mean I could take my beer bottles in for deposit, Or I can put them in the recycling bin and they're going to get picked up.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Mike Sigler?
You may have already answered this. I'm kind of wondering why we don't expand this even further beyond wine and liquor bottles to the
parts. Well, that's a good point. Actually, what I said in this resolution, Onondaga County has already submitted theirs. There's a number of other counties that are also moving forward. And I did include it. It's not just wine and liquor. It's also all bottles. So I have this.
Line 8 says beverage.
I got my beverage right here. It's glass. So we would, with what I'm proposing is we'd add this as well.
So that covers.
Does it cover like Gatorade bottles, which are plastic?
Well, again, we
nothing's proposed. So what?
No,
Gatorade's not included right now. And
I'm sorry, you have to bring it to Maine. That's difficult to do that. Not New York State, I'm sorry.
I'm only talking about glass today.
Okay.
There's a really big issue, though, about taking more plastic out of the recycling stream. Then we wind up in a situation where the recyclers start to lose material, and then the private operators, Waste Management, Casella, they're all in favor of this expanded bottle bill. But if you start taking the plastic out, they'll turn on us. It's a bunch of sharks and bunnies.
All right, Shauna.
We're the bunnies.
Would that also include, like, pickle jars, mayonnaise, pasta sauce?
What's being discussed is no, and the reason is because those aren't necessarily liquids in those containers, and they can cause contamination.
Okay. Can we put those in recycling?
Of course. Okay. Clean.
Got it, right.
No plastic bags, please.
Okay, Deborah.
Increasingly, though, those products are switching over, at least in my experience, to plastic jars and cans and bottles. You know, like mayonnaise is now.
Yeah, pasta sauce not. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, they're both.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was confusion about that, so that if this were to pass, we can still put into recycling glass containers that aren't in this category, even in this category.
I'm assuming so. I haven't seen any proposed legislation, but that's exactly what's happened in the past. I don't see why it would be prevented.
Okay. Any other questions? Are we ready to vote? So we have the amendment that was accepted or at last resolved about who we send it to, the usual suspects. All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you so much, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you for bringing this to us, and thank you for coming in. If I could skip over public safety and go to Health and Human Services, because I see Frank Krupa hanging around. So, what? Jason, go ahead, before we go to Shauna.
I just want to make one comment about the TC3 permitting process. I just want to give Arel some kudos. You know, we got a call a few weeks ago, probably I think right on prior to Christmas, that they were running into some challenges, and I was able to get with Arel and try to help TC3 through their permitting challenges, and he was able to, he jumped on it right away, dropped everything. He worked with them, worked with their engineers and their architects. He's able to issue the partial building permit to get them back up and running because they voluntarily stopped construction. So I just, you know, he really went out of his way. We had some late-night conversations where he was still reviewing plans to try to turn around as quickly as they could so they didn't lose. And I think at the end of the day, they might have lost a week of construction to his credit and to his actions. So I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know it was because of Arel they got back up and running, and there should be a full building permit issued in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. All right, Health and Human Services Committee, Mike.
Who dropped the ball on that?
I don't know exactly. We have not been involved in the past, so I know.
I know we didn't drop the ball.
No, it wasn't anything that necessarily had to do with us. I know we have a meeting, or we're going to be setting up a meeting with some of the leadership at TC3 to kind of review what happened on their end with everything so that we can work with them so it doesn't happen again.
That's good.
Yep.
Can I see if I missed it? This is about the child care facility.
Yes, I'm sorry, the child care facility, right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Jason, and it's good that we were able to help out. So, Shauna, Health and Human Services Committee.
I have one resolution to move, resolution number F, DOC ID 8280, appropriation from contingent fund and creation of position, mental health court resource coordinator.
Seconded by Anna. Is there discussion? So this could be really easy, Frank. All right, short roll call vote.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Corman?
Yes.
Are there any no's? All right, that's unanimous. Thank you very much. Any other reports, Sean?
We have not had a meeting since our last legislature meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, January 14th at 4 p.m. Jude Rose, from the who is the new child care planner and developer, will join us to talk about her new role and the work she's been doing with the Child Development Council. Lisa Holmes will also be presenting about the county opening up a local veteran services agency. And Reverend Clark will present some information and perhaps a recommendation on the Human Rights Commission. And I am currently in the process of scheduling meetings for the Human Rights Commission.
Thanks, Shauna. Anna?
I think we also have one presentation from STAP talking about the program that they have, if you recall.
Kenji Parker will be joining us as well.
Okay. Any questions for Shauna? All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Barb. Thanks, Jeff. Back to Public Safety. Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Public Safety Committee met yesterday. We had a fairly quick meeting. It was great. But we went through our proposed or draft 2019 committee project list to try to make sure everybody was on the same page as to our priorities of issues we should be either paying attention to or trying to drive. And that was a good discussion. We also looked at a draft presentation that's going to go at NYSAC this year on the Tompkins County Alternatives to Incarceration Programs. So it was, as I said, a fairly quick meeting. We also had our new sheriff and undersheriff visiting for the first time, so we got to hear from them a little bit. The next scheduled meeting is for February 6th at 3 o'clock, although I would say there was some talk about trying to reschedule in 2019 to allow reports from the departments to be to month end rather than a month behind. So
that'll be among the things we consider when we reschedule and reorganize the committees.
Right. But tentatively it's set for February 6th.
Any questions for Rich? All right, thank you very much, Rich. Dave, we took care of everything out of facilities? Okay, thank you. Transportation Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We meet tomorrow morning at 9:30, change of time by half an hour, and we'll be discussing asking Fernando de Aragon to update us on the long-range transportation plan he's working on for the county, and we'll also begin talking about what we want to see included in the RFP for the Route 13 study.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Government Operations, Dan Klein, Chair.
Thank you. Let's see. I'd like to start out by removing Resolution G, establishing 2019 meeting dates.
Seconded by Deborah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. And I would like to, so that... The copy that we have in the packet came out of committee, but I'd like to propose an amendment, which is to change the meeting that is currently scheduled for Tuesday, September 17th to Thursday, September 19th. The reason for that is that the New York State Association of Counties meeting in February has now been scheduled, and it takes place over September 17th. So in case legislators want to go to that, I thought we would change it to the meeting to Thursday.
Is there a second for that? Well, and that's probably friendly because you're the two. Okay. All right. Thanks. Is there any discussion or questions for Dan or on the motion? All right. There has been a question about summer meetings, whether it's the two meetings in July or two meetings in August? And is there any, you want to give us an update on the committee's thinking on that?
So I have mentioned it a couple of times here and in committee that anybody that wants to be part of that discussion is welcome to join. There's, I believe, three of us currently that are will be meeting to talk about this subject, and anyone else is welcome to join us. We are going to be looking at the issue of whether we want to skip or slightly alter the meeting schedule sometime during the year. We're not ready yet to vote on it tonight, so it'll come as an amendment later on. And like I said, if anybody wants to be part of that conversation, let me know.
All right. Anything else for Dan? All right. Ready to vote on G with that one change. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Any late to the game? Okay, everybody. That's unanimous. Thank you.
Okay. The next three resolutions have to do with tenancy and who's has an office in our Tompkins Center for History and Culture. I think I'm going to let Rich just introduce the topic in general, unless you're tired of talking about it, because you've been doing all the work on this.
Happy to. This is a good news story that we're heading towards opening the Tompkins Center for History and Culture, and there are a few available offices, and there's been some real interest. The Governance Council, which are the existing tenants of the building, have met and made recommendations to include on Resolution H, Discover Cayuga Lake, and on Resolution I, the Cayuga Chamber Orchestra, to become part of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture. And then on the added resolution, I believe it's J, would add the Ithaca Festival as a licensee of the Tompkins Center in History and Culture. And that's a different category in that they would not be a tenant, but they would have certain use rights in the building, particularly as a staging place for the Ithaca Festival. And I'm happy to try to answer questions, but I don't need to go on.
So how about I move Resolution H, accepting and pending approving the recommendation of the Governance Council of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture to extend an offer of tenancy to Discover Cayuga Lake.
Moved and seconded by Mike Lane. Discussion? Rich.
And I just would add, their official name is Discover Cayuga Lake, but what they do is they operate the floating classroom. And I have not yet had a chance to go out on it, but I've heard from several different sources it's a really educational and fun thing that we have in our community. And they'd have their office at the center.
Do they have an office somewhere else now?
I think they're up at Cornell. Are they part of the CRESP or something?
They might be. I don't know where they're currently located, but I think it's exciting to have them part of the project.
I believe the floating classroom students were the ones who discovered hydrilla in the lake.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's good to have them. All right. Anything else on H? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you. I'd like to move Resolution I, accepting and approving the recommendation of the Governance Council of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture to extend an offer of tenancy to the Cayuga Chamber Orchestra.
Seconded by Deborah. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Good. And J?
Resolution J. Resolution accepting and approving the recommendation of the Governance Council of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture to extend an offer of a license to the Ithaca Festival.
Seconded by Rich John. Discussion? Dan.
Just to clarify a little more of what Rich said, so this is a little different than the others. We're not using the word sublet, but that's kind of what they're doing. They're sharing office space with somebody else, another organization in the building. And I know, I'll just say this, I know there's been concerns, it's been in the media quite a bit, that the Ithaca Festival is having a little financial trouble right now. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this would shield the county from any problems if they were unable to pay their rent.
Rich?
Yeah, there is no significant, I mean, they will have some use of the building, but we're not expecting them to pay rent. They're going to pay a license fee that will be used for general purposes in the building. Frankly, as a big fan of the Ithaca Festival, I'm excited that this is a way we probably can help them to a more financially stable position to
put the festival on.
So can you explain then the differences? A tenant has a seat on the governance council?
I'm happy to go into the weeds, yes.
Okay.
A tenant signs a full lease, a five-year lease, and is committed to pay rent during that whole time. A licensee does not have an office. They may have some arrangement to use some office space, but the real purpose is to allow them to use the conference room, to have access to copiers on a pay-as-you-go basis. The facilities otherwise of being able to hold meetings there and to operate. And perhaps it depends, but they might have some small storage space in the basement if it's available. At any rate, it's tailored to their needs, and the idea is for a not-for-profit that is trying to operate on a very tight budget or is trying to determine, is there a need for this not-for-profit in our community? Are they viable? This is a great way of testing the waters. And they don't sign a lease. They don't have a long-term commitment. They don't have rights in the building. So that's really the difference.
So,
other than the enumerated rights in the license.
But if they have materials stored there, T-shirts are piled up on the conference table, or I mean, they must have access, right? Somehow that'll get figured out.
Yeah, we do need to figure that out. But it's going to be, they will have access, but it's going to have certain limits on it.
Is this for, I'm having just seen this and not read it yet, is this for just a year at a time? Or?
Yes.
Any other questions? All right. Sounds like a great idea. So, all right. All in favor of Resolution J, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
The next meeting of Government Operations Committee is going to be Wednesday, January 16th at 9:30 right here. A couple of topics that I know of at this time. We're going to be discussing training funds for legislators and how some kind of process to divvy that up. And also taking a look at the issue of advisory boards and clarifying the role of whether employees, county employees, can be on advisory boards.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Dan? All right. Thank you very much. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Anna Kellis, Chair.
We have our next meeting on the 24th. It was moved from the normal time, which was the fourth Monday of the month, because that is the first day of NYSAC. So it will be Thursday the 24th from 2 to 4 p.m. That was confirmed by staff now and legislators. One of the main topics will be the continued discussion of the forest management proposal. If bids have come in, they will be presented at that time. We have had a bunch of foresters and now several Cornell faculty that have weighed in on the topic. I'm sure some of them will be showing up for that meeting, and it should be a robust conversation, I'm sure.
Any questions for Anna? All right. Thank you very much. I think I'm ready to ask for a motion on the minutes of December 18th, 2018. Moved by Shauna, seconded by Annie. Any discussion? All in favor of the minutes? Please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Deborah, seconded by Anna. All in favor? Please raise your hands. Any opposed? Good evening. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Apparently it is Henry that's been driving.
Let's tell him. Mike Stigler, thank you very much, Mr. Temporary Chair. Thank you.